Yes, oh, that's your present.
I said, thanks, sir. Okay, yes, it looks very nice. Nice chicken. Nice feathers. Very beautiful. And it turned out to be a very clever chicken. I said, this is a very clever chicken. Don't think the size of the brain is so small, huh? This chicken had a lot of gray matter in its small brain. For example, think about this. We lived at that time in an apartment on the third floor. And there's two main entrances. And on every floor, there are two doors. Intelligence test for the chicken. Does it know which door is the right door and which floor it has to go up and which is the right door on the right floor? Oh, my super chicken was really something. It knew exactly how to get home and at the right time too. And my ama put the chicken out in the garden. This garden is not private garden, it's public garden with a gate open to the street. This chicken would never walk on the street. It only stays in the garden. Now, who taught this chicken to stay in the garden? Because it was not brought up as a chick, you know, not as a tiny little chick. It was already a grown chicken. And yet it would stay in the garden, feed in the garden, and when my ama went to the window and went, pop, 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 and what? The chicken comes running up the stairs, the right door, right floor, right into our door. The super chicken. Now, of course, this chicken became very precious to me, right? And one day when I came home from school, where's my chicken? The chicken ended up in the cooking pot. And I came to my ama and said, what do you mean by cooking my chicken? She says, I didn't want to cook the chicken. Your mother told me to cook the chicken. I said, why? Because she had some guests and she had nothing to, you know, she was not prepared, and so she put the chicken in the cook pot. Now, remember that I was just a child, and this chicken is very precious to me, right? Now, to you, maybe a chicken is nothing, especially if you don't know this chicken. But then go and put my chicken in the cook pot. I don't know how to forgive my mother for that. That's a cruelty to your pet. In other words, I look back through all these years and I thought, I never got anything from my mother, and what was dear to me, she took away from me. What kind of mother is this? She did many other things, by the way, that hurt me a great deal. I'm sure unintentionally, but it still hurt me all the same. Another time, you know, one of the greatest friends and greatest pets you can have, of course, is your dog, right? So I had my little dog, Pekingese Terrier. You know what's Pekingese Terrier? Little white terrier, very long wool, covers the eyes, so you can hardly see the eyes. It's a round face, huh? Very cute. It looks like a little teddy bear. Okay? And it was very dear to me, because when I came home from school, I mean, if my mother were home, she wouldn't even have to hardly look at me. But my dog would be jumping all over me, you know, licking my hands and jumping all over, oh, so excited, you know. You never get a warmer welcome, I tell you, than from a dog. No human being will ever give you such a warm welcome as a dog gives you, I can tell you. You come home from office, your wife is too busy cooking over there and washing the clothes and looking after the baby, no time for you. As Pastor Stephen was saying, the wife probably expects you to go and throw the garbage as soon as you came in through the door. You know? No time to greet you, you see. But this is true for most families. I mean, there's nothing unusual, right? You're busy in your office all day, so I've been busy at home all day. So what's your excuse for not doing your share of the work? Think about dogs, this, you know. They just come and give you such a welcome, and they just jump all over you and licking you all the time. So wonderful. And then I came home one day. No dog. No welcome. No pet. No nothing. What happened to my dog? Oh. Your mother forgot to close the door, your dog went out, disappeared on the street, and never came back again. My chicken gone, my dog gone. I mean, this is the end of your life, you know, you got nothing left. Nothing left. I mean, this is just too much, you see. Now, I'm not saying all this to say something bad about my mother. That's why I've never actually talked about my mother. But I want to, I think I can't find another way to show you how deep was the hurt inside of me. I have no mother, that is, I can call a mother, who never shows me any warmth, never does anything for me, and how it destroys even such little joy as I have. Now, if you grow up like that, what kind of person would you be? You would become resentful, you become bitter, and it could become even more dangerous that I could start hating my mother. I had nothing to love her for, but I could feel that you have never behaved to me as a mother. I don't want to talk to you anymore. I don't want to see you anymore. I had nothing to do with you. Now, if the Lord had not worked in my heart, I think that's exactly what I would have become. Why did I feel no bitterness to her? Why did I mean now, I don't feel any bitterness to her. Why didn't I feel resentful, much less hatred? Because I died. And in my dying, I lost the old man that was offended, hurt, mistreated, abandoned, neglected, and go on and on and on with this list of things. The only way that I could enter into life without bitterness, without anger, without hatred, was because that Eric Chan that grew up without a mother's love, that grew up without even the minimal, not the minimal attention from a mother, had died. I don't suffer from any psychological effect, none whatever. And afterwards, I could even love my mother. And before she died, we became very close friends with one another. That is the power of God, I can tell you. Nowadays, there are certain parts of Christianity that try to introduce something called healing, inner healing. For people like myself who had suffered abuse of one sort or another, neglect, suffered through years in all my childhood, I never ever remember a little bit of mother's love. I can't remember one incident. If you ask me, quote just one incident, I can't think of one. Nothing. It would have left emotional and psychological scars on my mind. But not at all, not at all. Because I didn't need any healing. There's nothing to be healed. I don't need to go and see a psychiatrist or a psychologist and work through my abuse and all this kind of stuff. Not at all. I love my mother, and I don't know why. And I could only do that after Jesus came into my life. He lives in me. And he is the friend of sinners. He forgives sinners, just like me. And I think this was the most powerful thing that turned my mother around. Such was the wonder of the Lord's working with me, that when my father died, and this is all in my London days, by the way, so I put it under the heading of London. My father died during the time I was in London. He and my mother had been separated. I find it a bit painful to talk about my private, my family life, but I see no way to bring out what God did in my life without making some reference to these things. They had separated from one another. But my father had written my mother's name into his will, though they had been divorced. Because he loved my mother and still hoped to reunite with her, though she didn't wish to do that. And what happened then is, when he died, then the executor of the will looked at his will and saw that the inheritance he wrote there is for my mother, my wife. She mentioned my wife, and so on. Now the court refused to honor the will, because my mother was no longer his wife. And therefore, the will could not be executed, because you must follow exactly the words. So they asked my mother to prove that she was still his wife, my father's wife. And she couldn't, of course, because the divorce had taken place. And so this thing dragged on in the court and on. So the court decided that since my mother could not claim the inheritance, it must come to me. Now my mother wanted to fight this case in court, you see. Here is a mother who did nothing for me, but she wants the inheritance. I thought to myself, come on, this is a bit much. You don't even want to be a wife, you don't want to be a mother, but you want the inheritance, right? I'm sorry to put it like this, but she was not a Christian, please remember at that time. This is what I did. I said to my mother, I will give you the inheritance. I'm not going to argue or fight with you about the inheritance. I went to the lawyer at my own expense and instructed the lawyer to sign away my inheritance to my mother. I said, give it all to my mother. I don't want it. Give it to her. I am a servant of the Lord. I was penniless. I had no money myself. And in the end, because I couldn't pay the lawyer's fee, the lawyer who was a Christian said, you don't have to pay me. He was so touched that though I could claim the inheritance, I signed it away. He said, I don't want you to pay me. In the future, whenever you need legal help, you come to me and I'll do it for you free of charge. That's how she took the inheritance. And then I went back home to visit her, to her home. I can't call it my home. She didn't allow me to reach it. And I wasn't even welcome at home. Can you imagine that? Talk about hurt, feeling, hatred. No, I wouldn't let that get up. He who has died is free from sin. And hatred is sin. I was not going to hate her. I went home. I wasn't welcome. And she made it clear that I wasn't welcome. All right, that's okay. And when I went there, then of course she couldn't throw me out of the door. But you know, there's a way of telling you, how long are you going to stay? Huh? And when are you leaving anyway? Because I was interfering with her private life. I'm sorry to put it like this. That's why my presence was a bit awkward for her. I said, all right, I'll just stay a short few days. And so when I stayed, I went to wash the dishes. I did, I did the kind of things that I was not expected to do. So I thought, I'm not going to preach to her, a witness with my life. My life doesn't speak to her, never mind. And she would ask me, by the way, how do you do your studies? And who provides you financially for your studies in London? I said, my God does. Yeah. She says, okay, I know. Yeah. Okay, God does it. But surely he doesn't drop the money out of heaven. I said, well, maybe he sometimes does, sometimes not. He has his ways of doing it. She said, I don't understand. I said, I know you wouldn't understand. So, I'll just keep it short and just say, my God provides all my needs. And that is why I said that later on, when I graduated after long years of study, she said to me, I don't understand all this, but your God is real. I mean, surely, when I'm in need, I could have fought for my inheritance, right? Slowly by slowly, God was working in her heart. The hardness and selfishness began to melt away. And one of the most profound moments of my life is one day she said to me, she said, Eric, how do I come to know the God that you trust in, that you serve? How do I know him? Tell me how. I said, Mom, you really want to know? She said, yes. How do I get to know him? I said, well, if you are prepared to kneel down here with me and you open your heart to God, you yield your life over to him, break with the past, become a new person, yield your life to Jesus, let him make a new person out of you. I said, are you willing to do that? She said, yes. And I said, shall we kneel down together? And she said, yes. And so she knelt down with me. And she yielded her life to the Lord. And there were tears and tears of repentance. She just cried and cried. It was amazing. It was, yeah. I can never think about it without feeling the power of that emotion. As I looked at what God was doing in my mother. This woman who did not want to see the inside of a church, who was not interested in the gospel, who didn't believe in God, who didn't care, she lived only for herself, me and me alone. She transformed, changed into a totally different person, beyond all recognition. And we became very close to one another. It was such a kind of love for one another, a kind of, it's very hard to explain. It was just amazing. Yeah, so a few years later, she passed away, and I felt very painful within myself. In fact, it's one of the few times I'd be honest with you and confess to you that I was unhappy with God. I said to to God, you know, all my life I never have a mother, and now mother comes to the Lord, she now loves you, she wants to walk with you, and then hardly I just begin to know that I have a mother, and then you take her away. I said, I don't understand this. I'm not happy, Lord, about this. I confess to you, I really grumbled with the Lord. Why did he do this? I still don't quite understand it, to be perfectly honest with you. I just couldn't grasp it. And I don't know in due time whether I will more fully understand why this had to be. That just when we had become so close, we had such a love for one another, such sweetness, and she passed away. She suffered no pain, of course. She died in a coma, and because of a viral pneumonia, a very vicious pneumonia that no antibiotic could stop. She passed into a coma and died within a few days. I never even got to say goodbye to her, I mean, neither by phone or by the, I was away on a mission. When I came back, I was told that my mother had passed away. Yes, I recall that being a Christian is not always easy. It hurt me tremendously that the Lord saw fit to take her away. And there must be reasons that one day I will more fully understand. But what I wanted to share with you is that because of this death with Christ, I had no unhappiness with my mother. It is no problem to forgive. In fact, I didn't think of anything to forgive, because I, the one who had once been neglected, abandoned, and so forth, had died. This Eric Chang did not exist anymore. There was a new man in whom Christ lived, and she encountered the power of this new man. And this new man changed a person whose heart was so hardened that, humanly speaking, it was impossible to save such a person. Our time is gone. I think I really have to close at this point. But I hope that you have got a little bit idea what it means to die. I never need any healing. I have no need for emotional healing. I have no need for any of this, because when you die, then all that is bad has died with you. Everything is gone. There was a sister, for example, who went through the terrible experience of being abused, with deep psychological scars, humanly speaking. But again, because she had died, she required no psychological treatment, no healing of any sort. The old had passed, the new had come. Remember these words. I hope that I helped to illustrate the substance of this camp. He who has died is free. Free from everything. Free to live a life full of the glory of God, full of the joy of God, full of the liberty of God. So I want to stress in the end again, having said all this about my mother, I love her so much. When I see the change in her life, she became a new person. That is the greatest miracle you can ever see. I've experienced many miracles, but the transformation of a person, there is nothing to compete with that, nothing to compare with that. It is simply amazing. I go to her grave from time to time when I pass in that direction, and I think again, oh Lord, how glorious are your ways. Yeah, let us close in prayer.